Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church with a worldwide reach and a worldwide impact on lives through the provision of the omnipotence of God and his blessing called the Internet. We're based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Let's begin with a few announcements. The first is happy birthday to Deanna Prokoski, who had a birthday on January 2nd. She always rings in the new year with our birthday. I thought that she would drop her baby on the 2nd so she and the baby could have the same birthday, but no, her timing is not that good. So, but happy birthday, Deanna. We love you, and I don't know when it's soup. I don't know when the baby's due, but she's due soon. She was at 39 weeks last time you saw? Yeah, that means the baby's doing the Macarena on her bladder, which is about that big right now. Hey, the Macarena. All right, she's not laughing. We're laughing, but she's not laughing. We're not laughing at you, Deanna. We're laughing beside you. All right, so prayers for the Stoddard family. Rick's wife, Vicky, lost her brother and her mom in a week on December 22nd and December 29th. So prayers for the family as they go through the grieving process. One loss is a lot. Two losses in a week is a lot. So our best to Rick and Vicky and their whole family. And prayers for everyone who made intercessions and petitions in the Barah Ministries prayer request group. Please, if you haven't, tune into that every once in a while and make sure that you add your prayers to the prayers of those who are requesting our prayer assistance. Mark your calendars next week. No face-to-face teaching, January 10th, 2016, but I will be trying to post a lesson on Tuesday night. I made a commitment to do a workshop with my wife, and so that's the January 10th thing, but we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programs right after that. Isn't that good?
Yes.
I just can't wait. No, actually, I'm really excited about it, but it's intense. You know, it's these nine in the morning until 9 at night, 4 days in a row. So I don't know, the old man, you know, I'm going to be ready for a nap about 8. So probably duck out of there early every night. And don't forget to download the Barah Ministries app. You can take the Word of God with you. It's available at Google Play or at the Windows App Store or in the iTunes Store. And it has never been easier to have the Word of God at your disposal all the time. You can have, make sure to tell your friends about the app. So let's see. Here's how easy it is. So you just punch a button and pull it up. And then current study. And then Romans. And there's the Christmas study, right in your pocket. See, all you technologically challenged folks, all I did was punch glass. Once you download that thing, it's just punching glass. Pretty cool, don't you think? Yeah, the congregation is mesmerized right now. You know, they're like, oh, wow, that is so cool. Yeah, download it.
Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church.
Yep, there's me. See? Isn't that cool? Rick, do you have that? All right. Have you got an auxiliary cord for your car? All Rory all the time? All right. And here's Deanna. See, this is the coolest thing, right? So Deanna checks in, right? She says, baby is due January 7th, LOL. Thank you, Deanna. You know, two-way, no more didactic from the pulpit. I love that. All right, so make sure you download the app, and let's get started with the lesson. The lesson introduction today is physical death is a very real part of the Christian way of life. Physical death is a very real part of the Christian way of life. We are born physically alive, but we're born spiritually dead. And what naturally follows physical life is physical death. as Robin Williams put it in the movie Dead Poets Society, each of us is food for worms, lads. Every one of us will one day stop breathing, turn cold, and die. And since that is the case, we must recognize that physical death is a natural part of physical life. I'm not talking about the little deaths that we experience in our day-to-day trials and tribulations, but physical death, the end of the part of our journey that is played out here on planet Earth. As believers in Christ and as students of the Word of God, we know that the soul, once born, never dies. And we know that each of us gets to choose where our soul spends eternity. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have chosen to spend eternity with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "We know that if our earthly tent, which is our house on earth, the physical body, is torn down by physical death, we have a building from God, a resurrection body, a new house, not made with hands, a house that is eternal in the heavens. Our current physical body is temporal, but in the future, God will give His believers a resurrection body." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. "Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the physical body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight." We have a lifestyle that is based on faith in Christ, not us seeing Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:8, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer, rather, to be absent from the physical body and to be at home face to face with the Lord." It is our aspiration to finish this race on earth and to be in our eternal home in heaven, the place where, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are citizens. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, "For as believers in Christ, our citizenship is in heaven, from which heaven also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus Christ will be coming back for us. So we open this lesson by learning one of the ways that the Lord handled the physical death of one of His divinely loved ones, Lazarus. And He talks about this in John chapter 11, verses 1 to 44. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus, who was a resident of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." John 11, 2. "It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." John 11, 3. "So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" John 11, 4. "But when Jesus heard this, He said, 'This sickness is not to end in death, but it is to be used for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it.'" John 11, 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus." John 11, 6. "So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, He then stayed 2 days longer in the place where He was." Now He did that because He was fulfilling the plan of God, the plan of His Father, by doing so. John 11, 7. "Then after this, He said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.'" Now, whenever the Lord said, "Let's go to Judea," that always caused a tremendous amount of dread for the apostles, because Judea is where Jerusalem is, and that's where all the bad stuff happens to people. John 11, 8, "The disciples said to Him, 'Rabbi, the Jews there were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going to go there again?'" The Jews there were just now seeking to stone you to death, and you're going to go there again? John 11, 9, Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world." And who was He talking about that is the light of the world? He's talking about himself, right? So those who see him will not stumble. John 11:10, but if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So the 12 hours a day reference is there are only two programs. There's the light and the night. And those who walk in the light are believers in Christ, and those who don't are unbelievers. So the Lord Jesus Christ knew that, as should we, that the time and the manner and the place of a person's death is God the Father's sovereign decision. And none of us shall be residents on this earth one more day or one less day than was allotted to us by God a billion years ago. John chapter 11, verse 11. Then Jesus said, this Jesus said, and then after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. Well, whenever Jesus said something, the apostles, you know, they were with him on earth for about 3 years. So most of the time when he said stuff, they didn't understand what he was saying. And this was no exception. John chapter 11, verse 12, the disciples then said to Jesus, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. And what they were really saying is, dude, it's Jerusalem. First of all, we're going to get killed. And second of all, it's a two-mile walk. Now, to us, a two-mile walk may seem like, you know, a very short distance, but in Jerusalem at that time, a two-mile walk was a really long walk and could take as much as a day. John chapter 11, verse 13. Now, Jesus had spoken of Lazarus's physical death, but the disciples thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. John 11, 14. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. John 11, 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. John 11, 16. Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us all go, so that we may die with him. Again, a complete misunderstanding of the situation. John 11, 17. So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. John 11, 18. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, about a day's journey. John 11, 19. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Now, the Jews today have a practice of burying their dead immediately. And they're continuing the practice that happened from this particular time. And it's funny how we do things today and many times don't even know why we're doing them. But the reason that they did it is because it's really hot in Jerusalem and the bodies would start decomposing right away. So they wanted to get them in the ground as fast as possible so that they wouldn't have to smell the stench. And there was a practice in Judaism called sitting Shiva. And if you lost somebody that was in your primary relative tree, like your father, mother, sister, or brother, then people would come and sit with you for 7 days and attend to you. And that practice is continued today. John 11, 20. Now Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. John 11, 21. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. John 11, 22. Even now I know that whatever you ask God the Father will give you. That is a woman who has faith. That is a woman who knows the word of God. John 11, 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise. In most of the translations, it says, your brother will rise again. But in the Greek, it just says, your brother will rise. And one of the reasons it's important to notice that distinction is to notice Martha's response. John 11, 24, Martha said to Jesus, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But that wasn't at all what Jesus meant in John 11, 23 when he said, your brother will rise. John 11, 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live, even if he dies. John 11:26, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? The resurrection life that believers in Christ live does not end at the point of our physical death. It is called eternal life for a reason, and it's given to us at the moment of salvation. It's called eternal life because it is indeed eternal. We have a life as believers in Christ with no beginning and no ending, because as believers in Christ, we share the eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ through our union with him. And from the moment of the baptism of God, the Holy Spirit, we have this eternal life, this resurrection life, the life we call the Zoe life. John chapter 11, verse 27. Martha said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world, Emmanuel, as we said at Christmas," John 11:28. And when Martha had said this, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." John 11:29, and when Mary heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to Jesus. John 11:30. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in place where Martha had met him. John 11:31. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. John 11:32. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." John 11:33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. John 11:34. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to Jesus, "Lord, come and see." John 11:35. Jesus wept. Take that, all the people who think that Jesus Christ isn't emotional. He's quite emotional. John 11:36. So the Jews were saying, "See how Jesus loved Lazarus?" John 11:37. But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?" Funny thing that somebody would say that. We're all allotted a number of days, and that's what we would like to have happen. You know, we have people who die what we consider to be too soon. When we see children die or babies die, and we say, "Well, why? Why couldn't God have kept them alive?" He could have. But what we witness is perfection. He allotted them a number of days. He gave them that number of days, and that number of days is over. Perfection. Hard to stomach, though, when they are people who are important to us. John 11:38. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. John 11:39. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." John 11:40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" John 11:41, so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Past tense, the prayer was made in the past. John 11:42, "I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." John 11:43. And when Jesus had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." John 11:44. And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, sparangano, the thin strips that Jesus was wrapped in the manger, the thin strips that are used to hold together a mangled corpse, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." As believers in Christ, we know that physical death is not an ending. It is a continuation of the resurrection life that the Godhead prepared for all of us in eternity past. And while we may weep and while we may miss our loved ones, we know that we will see again those relatives of ours that have believed in Christ. Welcome to a place where you can hear the word of God and have hope. And the opening song by Danny Gokey is Hope in Front of Me.
I've been running through rain that I thought would never end, trying to make it on faith in a struggle against the wind. I've seen the dark and the broken places, oh, but I know in my soul no matter how bad it gets, I'll be alright. There's hope in front of me, there's a light I still see. The storm you finally find, where the hurt and the tears and the pain don't fall behind. You open up your eyes and up ahead there's a big sun shining. Right then and there you realize you'll be
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Sometimes, Father, out of the depths of despair, we cry to you and we ask you to hear our voice. Sometimes the physical death of a loved one comes so suddenly that it shakes us to the core, and we wish we could roll back the clock and bring our loved ones back so that we could tell them all the things we didn't get to say before they left. But alas, we can't. Yet we know that you can tell them everything for us. And so we ask you to hear our prayer and to pass it along to them. And when the death of a loved one is unbearable for us, we feel broken and we can't make sense of it, but you can. And in time, through the intake of your word, your perfect plan in this matter will make perfect sense to us. But right now, it just hurts, Father. It hurts so bad. Comfort us in our grief and help us to know that the best is yet to come for all of us. Help us to realize in our souls that your unconditional love for us is powerful enough to heal all our wounds, even this one. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, God always gives you what you need. God always gives you what you need. And we learn from the story of Lazarus that God is intensely concerned about the death of his godly ones. That God orchestrates for us even our death. Well, the words that have been on most of our lips for the last 2 weeks are Merry, Merry, and Happy, Happy, from saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Or if you're Mexican, Feliz Navidad and Prospero Año Nuevo. But those are not the words that have been on every set of lips this holiday season. On December 26th, a member of our non-resident congregation collapsed to the floor shortly after walking his dog, and within a couple of hours was absent from the body and at home, face to face with the Lord. His name is Dave Hall. His wife, Beth McLaughlin, also a member of our non-resident congregation, is in mourning. And today's lesson is dedicated to Beth and also dedicated to all those who have experienced deaths in the family recently. Well, Beth, for you in particular, your Barah Ministries family grieves with you. Here is a picture of the two of them. Some of you may have remembered meeting Dave and Beth at the Barah Ministries homecoming a couple of years ago. But they're just dynamite people. Dave and Beth have been members of Barah Ministries for about 4 or 5 years, maybe more. The time frame actually escapes me. But they have been faithful supporters of this ministry and of me as a pastor for some time. And I have spent time with them on several occasions, brief though it was, and I find them both to be delightful people. They hosted one of Barah Ministries' first conferences in State College, Pennsylvania, and they attended our first Barah Ministries homecoming here in Phoenix. Dave is described by his friends with many platitudes. He is described as wonderful, caring, brilliant. He is described as a person who is transformational in his leadership, amazing, and encouraging. He is described as a dear friend, a mentor. He is deeply admired. He is someone who knocked down barriers for others. He is someone who changed lives. And one of the best descriptions of Dave, especially from my experience with him, is that he is a gentleman. In the truest sense of the word, he is a gentleman. He exuded a certain calm and a confident warmth reflected in his smile that communicated to me through a handshake what kind of person he is. And he is a person with a presence that exuded impact. And 69 years was much too few, in my estimation, for him to grace us with his presence. Beth describes him as a man with a big brain and a big heart, and I concur. Please notice that I describe Dave in the present tense, because even though he has left us to be at home with the Lord in heaven, he is very much alive. And as believers in Christ, we will see him again, and not quite soon enough, of course. I was talking to Beth this morning. She said, "I'm kind of pissed off." And I said, "Why is that?" She said, "Because I know Dave's up in heaven sipping bourbon and chilling with the Lord, while we're down here dealing with all of this stuff that we have to deal with." So this is one of the good days. She was in a really excellent mood this morning, but I know that her journey through this grieving is going to be an arduous one. I feel deeply for Beth, who was left to cope in Dave's absence. Dave was everything to her. They had an amazing relationship. A man who can win Beth's heart is indeed special, and Dave had. And I listened again and again to a message Beth left me the other day, and she did her best to describe the feelings she is wrestling with. Heartbroken, in shock, a catastrophic event, sudden, cataclysmic. Yet no words can adequately describe the impact a sudden loss like this has on your soul, especially when the person who has gone on to be with the Lord is such an integral part of your existence. You want to be happy for them being in heaven, but you can't help being devastated yourself. I certainly am. In fact, the way I put it to Beth is that sometime God's perfect timing just sucks. And that's the way it feels anyway. There are three ways to leave this life. Suddenly, after a long bout, and somewhere in between. And when we care about someone, all of them are hard. And there is no way to adequately prepare. But when it is sudden, when it is unexpected, when it is without warning, it is especially hard. Dave had just had dinner with his family, and he had just gone with Beth on a walk with his 2 4-year-old twin grandkids, and they were walking down the street singing, "We're off to see the wizard." And when he got back home, he walked his dog. He has a dog, kind of old, and they had a good walk. And then when he came back, he collapsed, and he died of a ruptured aortic arch. So his heart just tore apart. And Beth said that even if he had been on the operating table at the moment it happened, it would have been a dicey proposition. Well, what can we say to Beth at this time to console her? And by the way, she was telling me that this was the first time that the family had been all together. You know, it's just so beautiful to watch how God orchestrates everything and how he didn't let that happen at the dinner, but let him finish the dinner and come home where his kids and his grandkids didn't have to see that. What can we say to Beth and her family at this time to console her and to console them? Well, there is little that words can adequately communicate. We summon words, but all we can muster most of the time is sorry for your loss. Only prayers make a difference at times like this. Only God's soothing hand can care for hurts like this. But we are comforted as believers in Christ by the word of God. Psalm 116:15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones." And the godly ones are, of course, believers in Christ. Dave leaves behind 2 daughters, Sonia and Kristen, who people call Chrissy, his dog Molly, 2 4-year-old grandchildren, twins, Jonah and Sabrina, his twin sister Wincy, an older brother Phil, and a host of friends who are in shock at his passing into the eternal state. The thing that strikes the deepest chord for me in this situation is that I know from personal experience that when life is the darkest and when you're immersed in that moment of that darkness, there is nothing inside of you that thinks that God has greater things planned for you in the future. Yet Ephesians chapter 3 verses 20 and 21 make such a promise. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to his power which works within us, Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to his power that is resident within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Whatever Beth is praying for right now, the Lord is willing to do far more. God always gives you what you need. And so we wait with eager anticipation for his solution to every one of our problems. Let's take a music break.
Just putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
The night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Today's study, God always gives you what you need. I think when people that we love die, it scars us a little bit. And it leaves a scar on our souls that never really heals. And, you know, there's an expression, time heals all wounds. I don't believe it. And I'm glad that my life intersected with Dave's in such a way that a scar is left by his passing. And our prayers for Beth and for Dave's family is that they know deeply in their souls, even in the midst of this intense and overpowering grief, that God has more planned for them, a more that is beyond their wildest dreams, a more that is exceeding and abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or think. And that's really hard to see right now. In fact, there are many things in this life that just shake our faith to its core, things that steal our hope, things that make us feel unloved, things that make us feel all alone. And the sudden death of a loved one is among those things. My prayer for Beth is that she does not get mad at God, at least not for long. My prayer for Beth is that she comes closer to God to deal with this pain. I know she will. My prayer for Beth is that she is soothed by the word of God long after the immediacy of the current circumstance dies down and people who love her have gone back to their lives. And that's one of the hardest things to deal with when grieving. I remember how devastating the death of my mother was to me. And I knew it was imminent, and yet there is no way to adequately prepare for it. And when the moment arrived, I was pissed that everyone was acting as if life was normal when my world had been completely shattered. It was hard to watch others continue their lives as I continued to grieve. The sudden death of a loved one makes us feel helpless and hopeless, and often we don't see how we can go on. Yet in helpless and hopeless situations, God excels. He knows what we need. He knew what we needed when we were helpless and hopeless at physical birth, when he gave us a so great salvation. And God always gives us what we need right this minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18 say this: therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4, 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. 2 Corinthians 4, 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There are many things that we see right in front of us today that are simply temporal. All relationships end at a point, but not our relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are temporary cessations of relationships, but not ever our relationship with the Lord. So, Beth, I say this to you: God will soothe you. In the midst of his darkest tribulations, Jeremiah was able to proclaim in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." And certainly soothing you, Beth, will not be too difficult for the Lord. So while you may not be able to muster the strength to deal with this grief at some time in the coming days, as you take one day at a time and as you put one foot in front of the other, just know that the Lord is holding you in his outstretched arms, and that he prepared for this moment a billion years ago, long before you were even created. And as hard as it is to think of now, enjoy the fact that you were in a relationship as great as your relationship with Dave. And it is not your last great relationship on this earth. The best is yet to come for you, even though it's hard to imagine. God knows you, and he knows exactly what you need. God knows us, and he knows exactly what we need. And God always gives us exactly what we need. That's what made Paul proclaim in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And the Lord has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for divine power is perfected in human weakness. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, that's when I am strong. So, Beth, when things get toughest, remember this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Keep on thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary, fainting in your soul. We love you, Beth. We love your family. We send you our prayers and our best, and we look forward to seeing Dave's smiling face once again in the future in heaven. We close this way. When the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. And this is how we get to see Dave again in heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. There's salvation in no one else. And there is no other name under heaven that has been given to mankind by which we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Closing song is Destiny. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we know that you are the Comforter. And we know that you've provided everything for our good. And we just pray that in the difficult days like these, where the nest closes in to blot out the sky, we just pray that you open our hearts to you, that you let us see you shining inside of us and leading us out of the darkness to your marvelous light. And we just pray for Beth and for her family, that they are able to bond together through this crisis, and that they let this be a way to come closer together. And we pray that you continue to bring into their memory centers all of the great stories about all of the good and the bad times that they had with Dave, and that you encourage them to tell those stories and to recall this beautiful man who touched their lives and who brought us so much joy. And thank you for giving us to him, giving him to us for the 69 years that you let us be a part of his life. And thank you for the offspring that you allowed him to generate. And we look forward to seeing him again when we come into your kingdom and tell him we said hello, and tell him we love him, and tell him we can't wait to see him again. We pray that you protect our steps as we go forward during our trials, Father, and that you keep us on the narrow way, completely dependent on you and your guiding, mentoring spirit. We ask this through your precious Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Say amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.